Time for Elliot Friedman. Thank goodness.
Yes.
Our insider from Hockey Night in Canada and our NHL insiders brought to you by McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. Save us, Elliot.
From what?
From ourselves. Yeah, we've been together almost a year now. That's true.
It's too late for the audience also.
We have not had a day, and this has happened many times in radio, where everybody is in hysterical laughter and can't stop, and no one can talk. And I think that it's a possibility that this is one of those days. So you might have to save us from that, but we're okay for now.
Good luck with that, guys.
All right. I found it interesting. I was reading your 31 thoughts, and in what's going on with the goal, no goal in the National Hockey League and goaltender's interference, it kind of reminded me of something I read recently about Bill Belichick, how the Patriots are the least penalized team and why they are. They talk to the league. They watch the replays. They ask questions about the replays themselves to individual referees and officiating groups, and you mentioned that's not something that's available right now for NHL teams, that if they had more information on the subject, that this might go better.
You mean it's not because everybody's doing slow-mos of videos to see when they're laughing and putting their arms around Tom Brady? That's not the reason?
No.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're trying to do, is say, you know, look, you're on the phone. When there's a video review, the referee is on the phone with the situation room, and you guys make the decision, and it is the referee on goaltender interference who makes the final call, and it's the league on offsides that makes the final call. But nobody hears these conversations, and, you know, what they basically say when after further review, good goal, and there's an email that goes out, but it doesn't really give details on why they decided what they decided. And I think the frustration with goaltender interference was so much that they wanted greater clarity. They wanted to be told why specifically a result was announced. How did you come to it? And I think that's what they have asked could be done. And I think they're going to try it. I haven't heard 100%. I was going to check this week to see if it had started, and this gives me a good reminder to do that. But they said they were planning to do it. There were no plans to make those decisions, those announcements public now, but I hope eventually if they do it, they get around to that. Because if they don't do it, I think the GMs are going to move to try to get rid of the offside or the goaltender review altogether. And I don't think the league wants to go there.
Elliot Friedman joining us, Hockey Night in Canada. By the way, a reminder, Hockey Night not on CBC the next couple Saturdays, so you'll see Ottawa, Toronto on Sportsnet tomorrow night. Nashville struggling, playing the Eastern Canadian teams, as Joe Namath would say, are in Montreal tomorrow. We love those Weber-Subban battles, and you can see that on Sportsnet 360. You wrote about Josh Levo, to some extent Kasperi Kapanen, to some extent Nikita Soshnikov. Matt Martin is also in one of your thoughts. Are you surprised how quickly this has happened? Mike Babcock was always adamant with microphones, with notepads around about why he was there, why he played, what he meant, why he was not coming out of the lineup under any circumstance. And poof, it's like Dominic Moore was a few weeks ago. He's turned into a little bit of a ghost.
Yeah, and no, I'm not surprised. I think Babcock went out of his way to defend Martin, and, you know, I do think he likes Matt Martin. He kept him in there, I think, longer than a lot of other coaches would. But, you know, I think one of the reasons it happened is they've got to find out if Kapanen's an NHL player, especially since you've got Komarov's an unrestricted free agent. You've got Van Riemsdyk as an unrestricted free agent. You might need this guy to play for you next year. And that's what I think it comes down to, is they have invested some time on him. They made him a penalty killer before last season in the American Hockey League, and they were investing in him to see if he could become a more useful player to them. I mean, you saw what he did the other night with that great shorthanded goal, yeah. And Babcock had the praise. I think quite simply, it was an organization that said, we have to find out if this guy could play, and it was Martin that lost out because of it. I don't think they were trying to make any kind of a point It was simply the situation dictated it had to be him.
And on the Levo front, do you expect there are a lot of calls? I mean, no, but no GM's stupid and thinks they're going to be able to get him on the cheap. There will be an asking price for the Toronto Maple Leafs. But from Levo's side, when he signed that deal, didn't we all say the same thing? This gives him security, and the Leafs will have a lot more forward room. There's a lot more open competition for younger players, not vets, no matter what they do with JVR, for gigs next year. Is this a little bit of impatience on the Levo front?
I don't see how you can say it's impatience. The guy doesn't play. You know, and Greg, the other thing, too, is I think if you'll notice when it happened after they called up Kapanen and he got right in. Like, I think that was the last straw for Levo. You're sitting there, you're around the big team all year, and yet our situation here where they have to make a change, and they go to a guy who hasn't been there. I think the writing's on the wall for him. You know, I will tell you, there's one team that told me that they asked about Levo last year, and they were really surprised at the price, and they said, no, we're not going to do that. Now, I don't know if that's changed, but, you know, they were surprised. And the same goes for Soshnikov. Now, Soshnikov has a different issue, and that's the clock. They're going to play him in a couple games this weekend on his conditioning stint, but then they got to bring him back up, and if they want to send him back down, they got to put him on waivers. So I could actually see a possibility that Soshnikov happens sooner simply because the waiver situation doesn't allow them to hold on to him.
Elliot, you noted, and a great history note, that the Islanders, if they made the playoffs, would make the playoffs possibly as the team having given up the most goals in the entire NHL, and how rare that is. But I'm looking at the Penguins, and you're talking about some moves that they want to make, and they're still giving up a lot of goals. They're winning games, but, I mean, they can't be thrilled about their backup goaltender. They were worried about Matt Murray previously, and while they've won their games, he's given up 4 goals in 5 of his last 6 starts. Is that, I mean, their goaltending, they had Fleury to back him up last year. Are they worried about this?
I think they are, but I think that you can only plug so many holes at once, right? Like that, Mark Messier had a great line about this one time when he was at our studio to come on the air. He said that in the salary cap world, it's finally happened that you can't plug all your holes. Everybody's got a fatal flaw. And the question is, who can overcome that problem? Last year, you're right, they had Fleury, and he was a huge part. But they did win last year with a blue line where no player who played in the playoffs ever got a Norris vote. And that's the first time that's ever happened. Everybody at least had somebody that got a Norris vote at some time. So I think the Penguins look at it as, we did it once, and maybe we can do it again. And I think they've decided that the more important issue is up front, whether it's another center or it's a winger, that they've decided they're going to do it that way. I mean, the amazing thing is they've been looking all year for another center. And now because Kessel's been so good, second in the league in scoring, you know, Riley Sheehan is working with him on that line. So I think now I'm beginning to wonder, do they just stay with Sheehan, have him play the third line center in the playoffs because Kessel's been so good, and go out and get another winger. So we're all curious to see what they're going to do. Maybe they try again to get another goalie if the price is inexpensive. But I think they look at it like, we overcame what looked like a big flaw last year, and if we have to, we can try and do it again.
Hockey Night's Elliot Friedman, our guest, 8:16. Hockey Night in Canada tomorrow night on Sportsnet. Sens Leafs on Sportsnet 360. It's Preds Canadians. Late game is Edmonton San Jose on both. Are you shocked by the Boston Bruins, not just the run, but the competitiveness? And have they almost, you know, it reminds me, you love your NBA too. It reminds me almost of that Raptors group that Masai Ujiri kind of inherited, and there was talk of trading Kyle Lowry and then trading Rudy Gay, and oops, we're a contender. Like, they've stripped some pieces down. They've stripped some salary down. They've won one playoff round in 4 years, and it was against kind of a lousy Detroit team. They shouldn't be this good based on the expectations, even internally, I would bet.
Yes, they're surprised. And you know what? I think the other thing, too, is I think they believed they were going to be good. but I think they thought it was going to be maybe a year from now.
Yeah.
Because they have so many young players. I don't think they thought McAvoy would be this good this quickly. I don't think they thought Danton Heinen would be this effective this quickly. I think they've been surprised.
Jake DeBrusque is giving them a great season out of nowhere, isn't he? At age 21.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, and they get made so much fun of because they had those three picks in a row and they didn't take Barzal or they didn't take Kyle Connor and they took DeBrusque and he's giving them time. And, you know, they stole McAvoy later in the draft. You know, it's funny. Like, we were talking about this the other day. If you look at some of the things that have happened with them, guys, they made the Joe Thornton deal, didn't get a lot out of it, but won a Stanley Cup a few years later. You look at the Tyler Seguin deal, they've got nothing out of it, and look what they're doing. Like, in a cap world, to have two trades for superstar cornerstone players go like that and overcome it twice, I think that's pretty amazing. And the thing is, the Bruins do, they do find guys. They draft well, they develop well. And, you know, I think the other thing, too, is you got to give a lot of credit to the coach. They made a change, and a lot of people doubt it. Like, if you take a look at one of the interesting things, too, about the league is Mike Sullivan got fired in Boston, had to wait basically a decade to get another coaching job, and he's won two Stanley Cups. Bruce Cassidy got fired in Washington. People trashed him on the way out, has to wait a decade, gets this job in Boston, and if it wasn't for Gerard Gallant, he might be coach of the year. And I think it's a good reminder that sometimes you try something the first time and it doesn't work, but if you want to learn and you want to commit to learning it and maybe start at the bottom and come back up again, there's no reason why you can't do it. And Cassidy and Sullivan are two great examples of that.
Both Elliots, I think Ray Crawford Rast, though, jury's still out. I'm going to wait to evaluate that deal a little bit more. I want another year or two.
Yeah, but it's...
Well, you know what? I admire your patience.
I'm not very patient. I know.
Yeah.
It's not like the Bruins, however, before they did that, you know, got in touch with their fan base and told them, you know what, we're going to trade these guys. We're going to be worse for a while. We're trading some people that you like. We're going to lose. The Rangers did that yesterday. What'd you make of that? Reaching out to their fan base by Twitter and saying, we're going to trade some guys. We're not going to be very good for a while. Be patient with us. This is for the future.
It's Rick Nash is one thing that's a pure and utter rental. The McDonough thing is that's really saying for Alain Vigneault and for Jeff Gordon that we're going to plummet down for a couple seasons, isn't he? He's the real X factor to me. If he goes, that really says something to their fans.
Well, I think if he goes, I think that from what I understand, guys, is that if Ryan McDonagh gets traded, we're going to look at the deal and we're going to say, oh, that's why. Like, I don't think they're 100. I think they're willing to listen on McDonagh, but I think they believe that if they do it, the price has to be heavy. So I think that might give us a better explanation of why they decide to do it. But, you know, the one thing that's kind of out there, and we've talked about it a little bit, is, you know, if they trade Nash or they trade Grabner, you know, McDonagh, if he's gone, he's gone for another year and a half. He's got another year under contract. But the question is Nash going to go and come back? Is Grabner going to go and come back? And one of the subplots of the Olympics, last year, Ilya Kovalchuk, you had to go through New Jersey if you wanted to come back. You had to make a deal with him. And he went back overseas. This year, he's an unrestricted free agent. It's believed his target is the New York area. And if I had to rank them, you know, in order, I'd say probably for him, Rangers 1, Islanders 2. So what happens if they make deals... They get all these pieces, and Nash comes back, and or Grabner comes back, and say Kovalchuk comes over. Plus, they're going to have cap room, and you know what happens when the Rangers have this situation. Maybe they're looking at Boston guys and saying, hey, if we get some kids, and we can add some pieces to it, depending on who comes back or if Kovalchuk comes over, I wonder if they're looking at this as, a very, very quick reset.
And we've talked and about this.
If they can give it a shot next year.
We've talked about this on the show. You're also calling Tavares and seeing if he doesn't want to move
Absolutely.
But wants to play for the big team in Manhattan. That's what you're doing.
Well, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't sign with the Islanders, and I've said a lot that that's my number one option of what I think he wants to do. If he doesn't sign with the Islanders, and the Devils have a lot of cap room too, don't you think both the Rangers and the Devils are going to say, if you don't want to move,
yeah.
we're right here?
Elliot Friedman, always a pleasure. We'll be watching Hockey Night in Canada. Have a great weekend.
Well, I hope you guys get through the giggles before. I don't want it to ruin your weekend.
I think we're okay now.
We're just prepping for those 2 a.m. Olympic games.
Talking to me really sobered you up, eh? That's what
it is. I didn't want to say it out loud, but now that you've mentioned it.
Hey, nobody in here that's sober, Elliot.
It's not too late to do the second intermission from Pyeongchang. It's not too late to, you know, make some travel plans.
Oh, you know what? I got to tell you, I'm so jealous. I love the Olympics. I love them. It's one of my highlights, you know, whenever I get to do them. You know what? I got to tell you, people are like, this hockey tournament's a joke. I'll tell you, if Canada wins, like, they beat Switzerland and out of the gate and get another win over South Korea or the Czech Republic, this country's going to jump on board.
All right. People
are going to be right behind them.
What happened? Shouldn't we beat Switzerland and South Korea no matter what? I mean, come on.
That's it.
Well, South Korea, yes. But don't forget that, like, an Olympic team of NHLers lost to Switzerland in 2006.
Yeah.
Like, you get on those big ice surfaces, it's different. And, you know, everybody says that Russia's the favorite, and I agree with that. But how else do you handicap this tournament? Like, we have no idea how good these teams are going to be or who's going to be good.